Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Weekly, we are brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Check out AllAccessMMA.com for our video podcast, MMA news, and MMA stories. Ed, let's just get right to it. Some news from today. Nurmagomedov out of his fight with Corey Sandhagen, main eventing UFC Nashville on August 5th. I think you see a lot of people disappointed in the Twitter universe. I don't know who they're going to get to fill in. There's not a lot of options. Just kind of another one of those situations where perhaps a little too thin of a card to carry through a loss of a main event.
And that's the funny thing about it is like this is one of the things like. This is one of those things, and I feel like I want to say James Lynch or someone did a live Q&A where they addressed it was either Lynch or Luke Thomas or one of those guys that does a lot of YouTube content where they talked about how like this is one of those examples of when you have too many events and you have all your fighters so booked and busy, and I get they have to fulfill their ESPN broadcast obligations, but this is what happens. You like now they're scrambling to find somebody, to step in and in 2 weeks to save this card and in a venue that's not the Apex, when they go someplace, it's a big deal wherever they go. So like, how do you handle this? But the news just broke before we started recording. We had other topics to get into, but we started talking so much about it. We said, let's get into this first. So I don't know, man. I feel like everyone's saying there's still no main event as I'm checking news. There's still no main event. And it just seems like this is one of those things. Like, how are you going to fix it? I know that everything they're looking ahead to is for obviously their big pay-per-view next week, the Poirier Gaethje card. 7/29 is that big fight night. It's like, it doesn't look like their reaction to this is going to show how much they care or how little they care. They're just trying to run events now. It doesn't matter what,
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they get somebody to fill in. I just don't see a lot of options. You look at the top 10 of bantamweights and very few are available where they either have fights booked, they're injured. They just fought recently. So even if there was some available, Corey Sandhagen on 2.5 weeks notice is obviously not an easy challenge. And it doesn't make even for Corey to get a new opponent this laid out is interesting. Is something that, interesting to see how easy he comes to the table. Mm-hmm. Obviously they'll be negotiating money if they do find a replacement, whether that be a regional fighter who takes a fight that would be only really lose for Sandhagen.
It would have to be somebody that's like, very well known around the Nashville area. If you're gonna pull from from outside of the UFC, and throw them a nice chunk of change to do something like this, whoever it is that they're going to want money, whoever it is, they're going to want like, okay, I know there's fighters in this day and age too. There's a lot of fighters that are always kind of fight ready, but I don't know, man.
See, I think that the UFC use it to their advantage. And this is where, if you bring in a guy from the streets, you kind of just hold over the head the 12,000, 20,000, 20,000, 12,000, 12,000, and go, hey, you want in the UFC or not? You say no and they never let you in if that's your dream to be in the UFC. But we'll be interested to see. Ticket sales have gone well. Mm-hmm. Very few seats remain for that event. So historically, that usually hasn't meant that they've been a large incentive for the UFC to fill that void. They're not going to sell any more tickets based off of the fight they announce. The Tatiana Suarez, Jessica Andrade co-main event right now is not a bad fight, but it's similar to maybe what we just saw this past weekend at the Apex. And as far as, star power wise, and you know, super, you know, casual fan interest in a fight. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit more of a, you know, us that have been following Suarez from 5 years ago or whatever, when she started, and we're kind of just curious where she's going to turn out. There's, you know, a huge amount of fans who really have no idea who she is, just because she hasn't been active, over the last several years. But, I don't know. I it'll be interesting to see what happens for that. Hopefully they're able to put something together. But it, to me, it does not a good look when you're only doing a couple shows a year now outside of the Apex. And, mm-hmm. And when you pack an arena, you know, full of people, and you're not mm-hmm. able to come through with, we'll see. Maybe they pull it off, you know, so I don't want to be crazy, but, you know, short of coming up with something, you know, just a notch down from that main event, it would be disappointing, I would think, you know, because money does talk, as you were kind of talking earlier, like,
yeah,
ask for money. Money talks. You offer it to the right amount of money to somebody, you can make any fight happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, that was a little, bump in the road as we were preparing to record tonight. And we do want to get to obviously news that everyone else kind of knows about, and especially with the Ultimate Fighter, Connor finally picking up his team, Connor picking up their first win last night. Almost wasn't. The first round was definitely not going their way, but you know, the way he celebrated after going 1-7 in the whole season thus far is definitely going to make for an interesting, you know, semifinals. I know the previews and stuff they talked about, like, obviously Team Chandler is going to be fighting themselves most of it because of how it worked out. But, you know, it's just the thing about this, we're all tuning in because of the fight that's supposed to happen with Chandler and Connor, and it doesn't seem like we're getting that anyway. So I'm wondering, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I hinted at a couple weeks back. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that there's other stuff going on. So, you know, there was a tweet out from, I think, Daniel Cormier mentioning that, you know, the next opponent for Islam Makhachev is not going to be super popular with the with the fans.
Mm.
And part of me, unless it's like a Gamrot or something like that, where it's kind of just out of nowhere and a fight just to get a fight in. Chandler kind of made me wonder, like, because if you're not getting the McGregor fight, would they give you a title fight? Now, while you would think that wouldn't make the fans angry, it could if you're a Conor McGregor fan, which a lot of UFC fans are, and hence making fans angry because there's no McGregor fight, much less like fight against Chandler. I don't know, maybe a wild theory, but just interesting to see where it goes. Cause I don't think it's happening. It was his reaction though, to that knockout, the double axe handle, demolition style, finish was awesome. But
yeah.
And him running around the cage, I mean, it made me laugh. I thought it was funny.
When Connor does goofy shit, it's always funny, especially with that.
Whatever. All that shit, lightheartedness to the stuff. And that made me chuckle. So, That was good to see. But yeah, I mean, you know, his comments on the show about figuring out how many miles it is because he might start running to the Apex from his house in Vegas, and you know, hinting like he's gonna get ready to fight when that was filmed months ago and he still hasn't even entered the USADA pool yet.
Apparently, I saw a video. I don't know how new it is or what. There's another. Apparently, he got in another scuffle out wherever, you know, some bar, someplace. I saw it this morning before I went into work, and I was just like, okay, like, you know, what's going on here? Apparently he wants to fight. There seems to be a lot of things that he wants to do outside of the cage, but I don't know how, you know, you never know what, especially with these fighters, like when you get a horrific injury, like he had with the break in his leg, you never know where their mind is at. I know a lot of what we see in front of a camera, you know, especially someone that's used to being in front of a camera like him, you know, a lot of it's played up because of the cameras. A lot of it is also them trying to convince themselves to puff themselves up, you know, but, you know, when he's alone in the room, you know, and he's thinking about it or feeling, you know, the screws in his leg or whatever, you know what I mean? You never know what a guy's really going through. So I think – I think he gets an exemption to do it, but I just don't see it happening. They were talking. I keep hearing December. You know, that seems to be the month that's floating around if it's going to happen. But you know, all this USADA and all this stuff just seems like it's all part of like it's like when we had Joseph on talking about the glove size and everything last week. It's all just part of the show to get people interested and locked in on it. So, but the more we don't see progress, I think the more it kind of leaves our minds and we lose interest, especially in this day of social media and, you know, short attention spans.
Yeah. I don't think it's happening this year. Maybe January, February. Super Bowl time, something like that, but there's not. I mean, you can't. I know they can give him an exemption on the drug testing, but I don't know if you can do that in 2023. You know, you could get away with it a little bit for UFC 200 with Lesnar because it kind of happened later. You know, it wasn't as known. I don't think really anybody knew about. You know, it wasn't until kind of after that came about with. You know, that's why Mark Hunt, I think, is still in litigation with the UFC over that. To publicly give somebody a pass on drug tests for 2 years, and then to promote them for a fight when, you know, maybe the media won't ask the questions. You know, well, maybe they won't push the issue, you know, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they might because it's so blatant and it's so much out there. And Dana's commented on it already, you know, as far as trying to put it on USADA and stuff. And well, you know, whatever USADA says is irrelevant, you know. OK, you know,
there are folks that do ask it. And you know, like Farah Hanoun from MMA Junkie, she was the first one that did put it out there. So I think the right media will put it out there. But how often is she actually at events when they're not on her side of the world? You know what I mean? Like, not most of the time it's the goofball, you know, folks that get paid, you know, slid $100 right in front of everybody for fucking dicking around and post event press conference.
Yeah, but I'm not even just talking. I'm talking about like the real press. And I don't mean that to be totally disrespectful because there's a lot of good MMA media, but the big guys, the guys who write in national, you know, newspaper sites and, you know,
who just got rid of their sports that used to write a lot of big pieces? Was it the New York Times that they got rid of their sports writing? It happened recently. It's either Forbes or New York Times. So, you know, one of those, that's what you mean. Yeah.
Or one of the big guys from ESPN. I mean, even if it's a Stephen A. Smith or somebody, like if somebody who gets that many eyeballs on him brings it to light, like it potentially could backfire. That's the way I kind of see it. It maybe not. Maybe it fires off. Everybody's happy to see the fight. Nobody gives a crap that, you know, that they let. Again, I've stated my opinion on PEDs a million times. I wish they didn't drug test anybody. But there are rules to follow. And when there are rules to follow, you should follow the rules. That's how it's kind of always been, you know. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they try to pass that along. Because if they try to do, I mean, you're going to have other Pfizers losing their minds. You're going to have guys that failed drug tests going.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want that off my. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, if there's folks that are like Mark Hunt that are in litigation and they do start doing shit like that, that probably only helps Mark Hunt to get to a victory than helps the UFC. You know, that's probably things they all have to think about. You know, it's funny. I know the ABC conference is in Vegas. Eric McGracken just put it out there, and I looked into it. I was like, man, I'm going to start looking to go to those conferences because, you know, obviously there's probably more to learn there and get exposure from going to that than going to International Fight Week, because International Fight Week is just not even, you know, it's just a UFC con, like a Comic-Con, but for the UFC. But the thing about the conference that I did notice when I was looking at the schedule of folks speaking, you know, there's a lot of people that it's a free form because, like, Randy Couture is there going to talk about the MMA, Ali Act in MMA. But then I see, like, Hunter Campbell has, like, a block of time to talk, who's, like, the UFC's legal guy. And I was like, okay, like, wonder what you're going to do. And then they're talking about MMA regular. Of course, it's in Nevada. So that's MMA regulation. Who do you think they're going to have speak there? Mark Ratner, the UFC's, you know, rules and regs guy. And I'm just like, all right. Like, it'd be interesting just to see, like, what's just to see how things happen and who has control over what. Because at the end of the day, all these commissions will change your fucking minds if the money's right and everybody gets a piece of the pie, you know. So we saw that. I talked to Eric McGracken about it actually when the whole Diaz thing happened with Ferguson and that whole fight week and how they changed everything, because he went down that rabbit hole of how things can be changed last minute and commissions can do whatever the hell they want depending on where they're at. Like, he just exposed so much after that. I feel like, I mean, we were already pretty downhill, but you know, it's like you said, like there was a fun time with this sport and it was before people started making a big deal about all the testing, but now it's there, so you have to follow it.
Yeah, it's a different time. I just you know, you mentioned International Fight Week, and I couldn't help but notice, you know, they had the slap fight event the night before the UFC, and for such a popular event, according to Dana White, mm-hmm. you would think that in a town mm-hmm. full of tens of thousands of MMA fans, you wouldn't have held your super popular event in a warehouse with like 12 people there. Just saying. It's so popular, you couldn't sell any tickets to have it at Sam's Town or some, that is crazy to me. It's crazy. And then he comes out in the post fight press conferences and talks about how they're big in India.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's where.
That's where the ticket buying public must be, because it's clearly not all the fight fans in Vegas
that were there, but they didn't go
like
to that.
With nothing to do on that Friday night, and you didn't have you couldn't sell 500 tickets to that thing. That's the bottom line. That's why you hold it in a warehouse. These UFC fight nights probably have, you know, I'm guessing somewhere 50 to 100 people, depending on, you know.
Well, I just wrote a thing on the Apex. I know the Apex seats, they're expanding it, but when it initially opened, it was 1,500 was the seating capacity. So at least
there's never been a show with 1,000 people in that crowd.
1,500 was the seating capacity. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just if you put chairs all around the whole place. But that, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they get much more than a couple hundred max. You know, we're watching it. You saw those guys holding up that sign the other day, right? The about praising ESPN Plus or whatever it was, the super fan. You know, I was waiting for some kind of. I was waiting for something from you. You know, going, well, Matt, I thought you told me you weren't going to Vegas for the weekend or something like that on Twitter.
No, but I think it was Kaposa put something up that we were like, we went from Just Bleed to this. A couple of fucking golf buddies with their white polos on. As I wear my polo, but
a couple, you know, rich, what I mean? Golf, like, buddies,
with their whatever VIP necklace, you know, we might as well jump into that first before we, you know, they just had the Holly Holm and Buena Silva event at the UFC Apex. That's the event we're talking about, where those rich dudes were that were able to get there and watch it. The thing about that, like, I actually enjoyed that card. I thought that card was pretty good. And that's always the case with cards that get shit on.
You enjoyed the fights.
The fights, yeah.
The card was mediocre at best.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, oftentimes, every time
the fights can be great. Fights can be great. But that's one of my pet peeves on the the card is what the names are. The fights are what you were entertained by, which can happen. But that can happen anywhere. So that's just I mean, you could go to any event and have, you know, they go, hey, this is the worst fight card I've ever seen, and it could turn out to be great fights.
Yeah.
But you know, but as when you walk out of an event and you go, well, what was developed from that event? That's kind of what gets me a fight card. Like, what's the storylines? Where's the next fight go from here?
Well, yeah. That's
guys that have relevance, you know, and stuff. Whereas this, you go, okay, like, Madalena squeaked through. So he squeaked through. So he'll stay ranked.
Yeah.
And Buena Silva. Now that turned out to
be
cool because of the ninja choke finish, A, and B, because now you have a new contender.
Yeah.
So it did work out. It did work out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I enjoyed it. I wound up enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I watched it. I wound up enjoying it. Some horrific injuries, you know, obviously that arm dislocation. And she turned out to be all right. They popped it back in. So watching that whole thing, and you know, it's funny because like somebody admitted too online that they were just like, yeah, you know, it's fun just to shit on these cards because then they wind up being, you know, this good like this. And so it's almost like a you have to do it if you want to make them good, kind of like superstition type of thing. But it made me like, after I watched it, I was like, you know, people are complaining about the Apex, but it's like nobody knows by now. So many people have written about the ESPN deal and then how many events the UFC has to put on ESPN to make money, which is why those guys were holding those fucking signs up. You know, it's like it couldn't be any plainer to in your face. It's money. Like they're doing it because that's how they make money. Dana White called it the equivalent of working from home. Nolan King just put out, they already booked another day at the Apex for October. So, you know, you can complain about Apex events all you want, but that's it. They're here to stay. When he opened them, he before COVID, he even said, Dana White was like, this is our thing where we could run. They could technically run multiple events in one day. I think he said three events in one day if they wanted to, right out of there, because of the design of the place and how they have stuff set up. You know, and they've held slap fight shit there. You know, it's like they didn't build the place to not use it, and now they see how useful it is, so they're just going to use it more. So I think, you know, we can complain about all we want, but they're not going to go away. It's the most cost effective thing for them. And then the flip side is that it drives up ticket sales when they do go to a city, because now you and you especially have been talking, you watch ticket prices all the time when they go to someplace because you like to travel to these events, and you've progressively been talking about how, like, now you have to give your left nut to get to a UFC.
Yeah, event. I know that's kind of been the narrative or storyline that I know you've gone with, and but also in the same token, there is another side there. Mm-hmm. Like, you had the event in Brazil that didn't sell at all. Mm. That had open, they, you know, the London card coming up this weekend, they had to close off the upper level because ticket sales were so poor. They were actually offering a discount if you had went to Money in the Bank for WWE. You got a discount on a UFC ticket. Hmm. So there is some give and take, because when you get, I think they're doing so few of these fight nights out in towns. You know what we got? Nashville, huge town, going to sell no matter what. You got tourists up the backside. San Diego, you're going to sell no matter what. I'm trying to recall other towns where we've had fight nights. I feel like there was maybe one in Ohio. Again, kind of a pretty stronghold when you go to, where they were at in Ohio. I think I don't think they were in Columbus, but I can't remember where they have like the Arnold Fitness and all that stuff out there. But generally a fairly strong crowd. They're not going, you know, I'm curious to see what these Apex cards do when you start having an event. Like if it just means that you're just not going to have as many events outside, which is obviously kind of goes hand in hand with it, because you only have so many weeks in a year. But are you going to, I wonder how much, if you're going to eventually kill some interest. I wonder if people are going to, you know, because the prices are not cheap. You know, and once you start going to the educated crowd, like the London crowd begged for an event to come back, came back. They got that. They got Usman and Edwards, sold that thing out in minutes, you know, record breaking London, you know, O2 Arena, whatever records. And then their follow up, which is only what, 3 months later, four months later. I mean, I don't remember exactly when the Usman fight was, but Edwards Usman, but it wasn't that long ago. I think it was in March. We're going into July, and they literally have to black out the upper level of the arena because they can't sell enough seats. So I think you might find that you're going to have situations where, like, if you have enough, that's why I don't think they do these in smaller arenas in Vegas, because I think you would saturate the crowd, and you're going to get the crowd to go, like, I'm just not interested anymore. At paying that price to go to that, like it, because the crowd's going, wait a minute, look at this fight card we just had 2 months ago. Now you're giving me this. Yeah, we Aspinall Blades is Aspinall and I want to say Blades, but I thought that they already fought. Who is it this week? It's Aspinall and Tabura. You know, like that's not, you know, coming off Edwards Usman 3. You know,
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see where it goes down the line, because I think right now it's a great money-making thing for them to have the Apex. Obviously, they're stacking money. But I wonder if in the long run it's going to hurt. I wonder if in the long run it hurts interest. I wonder if in the long run the less eyeballs per, you know, because any sport, the live person's eyeball is what creates the fan.
Mm-hmm.
For most, for very much a huge portion of fact, that's what creates the person yeah. who sees it, and it's wide-eyed, and you're a little kid or you're a teenager and you're like, holy hell, like, this is crazy. You know, that's how it used to be walking. That's how it still is walking to T-Mobile when they have a mega event, or when you go into the garden out by you. So I mm-hmm. wonder if you're going to start diluting that a little bit, and kind of, I feel like you're devaluing your product. I feel like the UFC product has been devalued to the point where it's like, it's an Apex card. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what it is. It's so it's not really necessary to see. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
sure, we're fight fans. We watch them. You know, we're crazy fight fans. We watch insane stuff. We watch, mm-hmm. you know, circus fighting, or, you know, fight circus and shit
yeah.
like that.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's going to devalue the product in the long run. And I wonder if you'll, if at some point fans will go, okay, like, why? Like, I'm not just going to go to that event just because it's in my town, it's fight night, to see Buena Silva and Holm. Mm-hmm. Like that's not, you know, and Sandhagen and Nurmagomedov was a hell of a fight, mm-hmm. but you know, you, if they don't come through there and then they try to go to Nashville again in a year, they might not sell out the same. That's kind of where I'm going, is like, mm-hmm. you can only
yeah, yeah.
poke
well,
at the fans.
Yeah.
You know, so like, much.
I wrote a whole thing here. No, you're not wrong. I mean, I wrote a whole thing about the UFC being cursed. Like they stay out, they haven't been back to Brooklyn since the last, you know, I can't think of the last UFC card in Brooklyn that was, you know, like it just seems to be, you know, they had 206 there, which was a home and Duran to me. And then they had the thing with, you know, Khabib versus, they changed, it wound up being, Iaquinta, but he had like three opponent changes that week, you know, and then obviously the whole bus thing that happened, and it was just all, you know, so I don't know if like, you know, they're not going to Barclays like fans, boxing fans love going to Barclays for boxing. I don't think you get them in there like that for MMA. The Garden, yes, because they always hit home runs when they come to the Garden. And you have to if you're going there, not for nothing.
But basically, they're doing New York once a year now.
Yeah.
Before that, you had your Long Island event. You had the ones that went up in upstate. You had Buffalo. You had Albany event. You had you'd get a Barclays event a year, maybe two, depending on how they were, you know,
mm-hmm.
where that's what, at least that's how it looked like it was going pre-pandemic. Obviously the pandemic changed the whole schedule of everything and helped create some of this easy going production to have the fights. But it just devalues the product in my mm-hmm. eyes. I'm not sure what the general public thinks. I think a lot of hardcore fans, that's their opinion. Obviously, I think you have, and you,
yeah,
not, it doesn't devalue the fighters. It doesn't devalue the fights. It just devalues the name of the UFC and the prestige that I feel like used to go along with that. That's really dwindling in my eyes. And again, you know, as far as the prestige, like I said, it doesn't do anything to the fighters. Fighters are as better, as good as they've ever been.
Oh my
God. The fights are as scientific and as technical as they've ever been. But, mm-hmm. But just the product itself.
I feel like now, I mean, just watching so many fights, I feel like now the MMA fighter on the rise, reaching his prime and in his prime, they're all probably the hardest hitters in all of combat sports right now, just because of what they put into, you know what I mean? Just what they put into to their training and stuff. And obviously not for nothing, I've been with Spectation Sports a little more than a year. And I've been talking to so many of these guys that are on the rise. Two guys that were in the UFC, Don Shaynis and Jay Perrin. They're both former UFC vets. They're on the Cage Titan 60 card this weekend. Those interviews are up at the Spectation Sports YouTube channel for folks that want to check them out. But talking to those guys, like, listen to me. Shaynis told me he broke his neck in a fight and kept fighting. I'm like, you know, that's you hear shit like that out of pro wrestling. You never hear like other sports people, like, they'll get carried off somewhere. They don't finish fights with broken necks, but like the today's level of fighter that's coming up in the future, man, it's just crazy. And I guess that's why we keep watching.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a special talent.
Yeah. And, they're not, they're different level of human. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, like I said, it's not a knock on any of them. They're great. It's just,
yeah, no,
just the product in general. And the great fighters.
It's the people that use them. Like, it's the people that are, I don't want to say use them because it's a two way thing. They're agreeing to these work for fight for these promotions. Some promotions are probably better at taking care of their fighters than others. You know, obviously UFC talking about UFC fighter pay, but then when you talk to fighters, Jorge Masvidal is like, well, they took care of me but he's Jorge Masvidal. Not everybody, whatever it is that they need to make it to that multi-million-dollar level, no one knows what it is anymore. And then even I feel like Dana White did hint at this when he was talking to who's the fucking guy in the tank top that he always talks to?
Oh,
some fucking guy that doesn't have air conditioning. WWE,
right?
Yeah. he doesn't have air conditioning in his pod studio and he's on cocaine half the time or whatever.
The punter from the Colts.
Yeah. I forget his name, but when he was talking to him, he was complaining about executives taking over. And when he said that, it started making me think about a lot of the other things he said. You know, like when Farah Hanoun did ask him about the drug testing thing, he's like, that's not my job. And I'm like, oh, that's what the employee says. Like, that's what the blue collar, the guy that comes collecting the garbage or, you know, someone that's just a data entry guy. You know, when you say something, ask him something, that's not my job. I don't give, you know, that's an employee line. So when he said that to me, I'm like, and we know Ari Emanuel is like the owner operator. Ari and now Vince McMahon are his bosses. So I'm just wondering if he's starting to feel like when the sport finally where we want it, but now these corporate guys that take over are the ones that are really kind of fucking it up for everybody. I mean, when you look at the PFL, you know, I just watched the American Gladiators documentary.
It's good, Netflix. Huh?
Yeah, it was really good. But like, as I'm watching it, and I don't know if it was because of the red, white, and blue and all that, but I'm like, all the stuff happened with the PFL and you know the whole thing with putting Burgos on when it should have been what's his name, the jiu-jitsu guy that won last season I covered. I'm forgetting because so many changes happened just because they wanted to make it work for TV. And I'm just like, I just felt like, wow, is it American Gladiators, PFL, almost the same shit. It's just weird. It's just a weird, but in that documentary, and what the point I'm getting to is like, it's just going to show like when these entertainment executive people that don't have like the fight IQ of actually having been there. I think that's what makes one championship so fun. You know, they have Rich Franklin there as VP. I know, I forget what her title is with one championship. Misha Tate has a role with them that she still works with them in the background. And you know, they just seem to have, they're bringing guys like Tom DeBlas and jiu-jitsu guys to like matchmake jiu-jitsu, you know, like they bring in actual fighters that kind of understand and respect what fans want, but what fighters would like to see too. So I just feel like I feel like that's what's missing on our side with the UFC, and that's what the UFC is turning into. And I think the PFL is kind of speaking for itself right now. Thank you, Kevin.
The PFL is what I expect from it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I expect chaos and I expect nonsense from everybody, but I don't really expect it from the UFC. That's kind of where, like, it always been there, but like, it shouldn't be something that I'm expecting. It should be like a surprise. Like, you remember when there used to be like a surprise like twice a year about the UFC and you'd be like, oh wow, that's crazy. Now it's every day. Now it's like every day something's going on. But
people get all fucking hot in their panties if you don't cite them for breaking the news of somebody breaking a win at the fucking local Starbucks or whatever the fuck their problem is. But speaking of breaking news, we might as well move on because we said we were going to talk about it yesterday. Was yesterday on Errol Helwani talked with Michael Venom Page and he said he's a free agent.
I believe it was. And then it set off a storm of
matchmaking storm of
people going through the UFC's roster pages and realizing that they have Fedor and the Pitbull brothers and AJ McKee, and then it's the UFC by Bellator, and like it's weird. I feel like, and this is going to be again a knock a little bit maybe on the UFC. We'll see if they sign him, but I think it's a sad state of affairs if the UFC doesn't offer him a fair contract.
Yeah,
like I think that's you know, he might get outbid. UFC could get outbid. That's fine. One could offer him a ton of money. You know, BKFC, maybe somebody just offers him the Brinks truck, but but if the UFC doesn't come out and offer him,
well, yeah,
$100,000 and $100,000,
yeah,
you know, like $150,000, $150,000, like, you know, he shouldn't have to take a huge pay cut to go from Bellator to the UFC.
No, I mean, he's a name. He's somebody that draws people. You know, people want to see him fight, even if they want to see him lose or whatever. I think he's a phenomenal martial artist. I like the fact that
from day one here, I've talked about my dream fight being him and Wonder Boy. So like, it's right there before it's too late.
Yeah. That like right there. But that's the thing. And when I saw that news, I feel like you saw the tweet too. And I was like, I said that, you know, the, not for nothing. I mean, the UFC, especially lately, they've been lowballing these guys that have a following and a name, and it's like, okay, you have somebody here that you could like pack the house with and, you know, bring fans from that watch MMA. I know you want all these fucking new eyeballs and TikTok people to watch your product, but like, you know, you want us to start like cheering for you. If you bring him MVP, like that shit, we like when Michael Chandler got signed to the UFC, it was like fucking Christmas for me. I was like,
how do you not sign MVP and announce it in the Octagon this Saturday in London?
Yeah.
How do you not do that? If Venom Page is fighting this Saturday, I'm pretty sure they're not closing off that upper level.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, how do you not? It's right there. It's in front of you. What do we want to like? Yeah. Don't I mean? What? I always thought that's what it was about. Getting that, you know, getting that viral moment of Venom Page in the Octagon. Maybe Dana White brings him out, or Joe, you know, whoever, Cormier, they bring him into the Octagon. Addresses the crowd goes fucking crazy, and you got him and Wonder Boy, you got him and whoever, Paheya, the loony dude doing backflips and shit. You know, it's Michael Paheya, I believe, is how you say his last name, but like they're there. The fights are there. Like are crazy fights. He's not gonna go in there and out grapple. You know, Kumar Usman. Like he's not like, but like, there's three or four fun fights that you can have before it's too late.
That's what I was saying. Like give him a 3-fight contract and make it those 3 or 4. Like you did with Ben Askren. You know, you brought him in and he was supposed to fight all these guys, and obviously he was with his bad hip, and you know, at the end of his career, and it didn't work out the way that we didn't see the Ben Askren from Bellator in one FC or one championship, but a lot of folks are, you know, when everyone's doing their tarot card reading of where he might wind up, a lot of folks seem to think it's going to be the PFL, and I feel like that makes sense, because they want to seem like they're throwing good money at fighters, even if it's putting them in the red, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do it with him, at least for a season, because they do have the seasonal format. So if they spend the money and they make it back in their season, then they have that off time to kind of recoup and do another round of investing and all the shit that they do in the background to keep themselves afloat.
I mean, I'd watch MVP versus Cooper Jr. or Cooper the Third, you know, but
yeah, him and Sada Bousi and yeah,
you know, but it gets thin, and I'm like, I don't know, like you're not fighting in front of huge crowds with PFL. You're not like. I'm sorry, but MVP in London is a fun thing. In Europe is a fun. I mean, that would be something that I'd look forward to, you know, seeing his debut in the UFC if it was in a card like that, or in Madison Square Garden and in a proper matchup. I mean, just play it up. No, we know he's not the world champion, you know, but he's a fun as hell fighter to watch. He's got charisma.
Yeah.
He brings something to the table and he's known. And he's, you know, he's either going to get knocked out or he's going to usually do something that's pretty spectacular. So like, why, you know, and his record's great. I mean, he gets bad mouthed because he was in Bellator. Like that's basically,
which is stupid,
you know, but he's got two losses on his record.
Yeah. Like all you guys that want to like badmouth him because he's, cause Bellator fighters and here we at, here you have Michael Chandler, who's a world beater most of his career. You know, Eddie Alvarez was a Bellator fighter and, you know, he managed to grab UFC gold. Like, I don't like when people try to shit on someone. You know, the perfect thing is one of the guys I talked to, Jay Perrin, who was in the UFC, again, he's on the Cage Titans card this weekend. He said the coolest thing ever to folks that like to shit on fighters like that. And what he said was, I'm paraphrasing it, but he was like, I don't care what, you know, you can call me BC League or whatever fighter. I get to live the life of a professional fucking fighter and do whatever I want, whenever I want, while you sit on the fucking couch. So I don't really care what you think. So not for people that like to shit on fighters coming from Bellator, put that in your fucking pipe and smoke.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, your eyes don't lie.
Yeah.
When you see a good fighter, you see a good fighter. It shouldn't matter what fucking logo's on the cage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I might, you know, but that's neither here nor there. My whole thing is just, hopefully the UFC gives him a good offer. And we see him. I mean, you know, Ryzen would be fun as hell too. Michael Venom Page friggin', you know, soccer kicking fools is not something I would turn away from. You know what I mean? So,
dude, but the guy has literally like damage, like the damage he's done. I mean, what he did to Yamauchi, and I know he didn't mean to do that. You know, it was just him doing the leg kick, and that was a result of it. But that's the separating the tendon on the leg for Yamauchi. You know, the thing he did to Cyborg when it with the knee to the head. I mean, he broke what's the wrestler's name? Nose that he flattened in his face.
Oh, like, Derek Anderson.
Yeah, yeah. Like the dude's got like you said, he does things like, especially if you're the UFC's marketing and digital team is so on point with catching moments. This guy literally could give you.
I don't know all the Dragon Ball stuff, but no, yeah. But I know like doesn't he get play into all that stuff or the Marvel stuff?
That, yeah,
all,
yeah.
Like again, I don't know a lot about that stuff, but like it's comic book. He's a comic book character. So like
UFC Strike, it's all NFTs are all just these moments of fighters. You know how many NFTs you could make of Michael Venom?
I mean, it's like it happened before, because I can almost remember a guy named Carlos Newton throwing fireballs in the cage and it being on the video games. And it's right there. You don't even have to pay an architect. You already got the plans. What are we doing? What are we doing? You know, so let's see. But again, maybe this is all for naught and they sign him and we get all these fights and we get to sit here and praise the UFC for going down. But it'll be interesting to see what he does. There's a handful of good fights. I hope we don't lose him kind of to the boxing scene where he's kind of just gone, you know, and really there's not much there other than some money for him, which is fine.
He did say when they asked him about bare knuckle, he did say he kind of wanted to do that again too. So if Feldman, you know, has the cheddar to throw at him, I mean, the fact that he didn't mind it and would like to do it again, I mean, you know, I just feel like we don't get the, because of all the other stuff he does. I feel like we'd be, when the rule said it's not, you know, kickboxing or mixed martial arts, you know, where he can't kick and he can't do all the rangy footwork that he does. I feel like that kind of takes away from the product of MVP that people are looking for. So.
How about him versus Raymond Daniels, Karate Combat, December 12th in Vegas?
I was going to say Karate Combat. I remember I had that in my notes.
You know? I mean, that doesn't get you the huge crowd. Yeah. That's not going to get you. That's going to get you the PFL-style crowd. Mm-hmm. But it's different. They're probably not going to make him sign an 8-fight contract and lock him up for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You know? Like, as a one-off, if you're not going to – you know what I mean? That's one of those things, like – the UFC, you're going to be locked in the UFC. You're not going to do this. PFL might have some leverage where they go, hey, you want to go do a bare knuckle fight? You want to go box? Maybe PFL lets them do it like they do kind of with Ngannou right now. But but I mean, there's some fights there. I mean, Raymond Daniels, it's a crime that that fight didn't happen even in Bellator, to be honest. And maybe they turn out to be fucking snoozers, but just stylistically, you think like this is Johnny versus Karate Kid, you know, like real life, you know? So, you know, again, the stories are all there. Two Bellator events beaten in karate combat
I hope they're all balancing their checkbooks to see what they can, you know what I mean? Like
well, if karate offer, combat man. Wants to come to Vegas, why if you are you gonna come to Vegas and go hide in a warehouse? Or are you gonna come to Vegas and you're gonna be at the MGM Grand?
Yeah.
Or you know, and try to sell an event. Maybe you go semi-bust, you only sell 6,000-7,000 tickets, but you know, it's still, you're in Vegas, lower bowls filled, you get a good nice fight like that. And I'd go.
Yeah, they signed MVP. I've been to karate combat events. They're fun.
I've never been to one. I'd go check it out for sure if that something like that was
for sure, Doug, when they did it in the Freedom Tower here, and that was it was a unique event. I mean, I don't know how they would handle seating, because everything they've done up until now has been they do the weird virtual crowd or whatever they do now. I mean, I know it's a real crowd, but everyone's kind of just standing around the pit because it's the pit that they fight in. So I don't know how they would up the ante in evolving the product more. I kind of like the way it was when it first came out. But I know the cost of it was not cost effective to go to all these unique locations, which is why they do what they do now. But if they're gonna start holding events in Vegas, like you said, you know, maybe it's time to move out of these studios and into like you said the MGM Grand or someplace. I mean,
a big ballroom there, something where you can get some elevated seats.
Yeah,
put some bleachers around it. That's how K1 used to do it in Vegas.
Yeah.
Rent out one of the big ballrooms, surround it with bleachers, put some floor seats, or however you need to figure out how to do it with the elevated walls to their pit. But there'd be ways to do it. There's ways to make money and sell some tickets. And because that's what I think you need to do. I think if you're a company like that, I think that's how you grow. You might have to get some growing pains, but you got to get some live eyeballs on that.
Yeah.
Get some kids wanting, you know what I mean? Like, I always feel like that's how everything grows, you know, is again, as I said earlier, people seeing stuff and their eyes getting wide and going, holy shit, what is this? You know, this is different, you know? And I don't think you get that perspective necessarily from TV. Now, you can, but it's not the same. It's not the same. A big fight, a big field, the cage, and seeing all that stuff in front of you, it changes your perspective on the sport. With that said, as talked about, there is the UFC London card. Tabura Aspinall, early start, ESPN+. You know, as you said, the fights last week were entertaining, so there's no reason to believe that these won't be either. But not a huge. Andre Muniz, Paul Craig, again, fight that doesn't really mean a whole lot, but a fight that probably will be some kind of wildness involved. Big hitter against a kind of a wild submission guy. Davey Grant's always fun to watch. Brian Barberina fighting Muradov. That'll be, you know, Barberina always brings it. So there's some fun guys. Caitlin Vieira's way down on that card, which is kind of odd to me. Okay, she lost her last fight to Pennington after beating Holly Holm. So, okay, so, you know, I don't remember the Pennington fight, but that's on me. So there's fights this Saturday. Not a huge week of all the other stuff. No BKFC, no Bellator. It's the following week when things pop off again big time with the MMA, the boxing and everything else.
July 29th, we have so much to talk about that week. Obviously that's going to have to be because we're going to have to preview, I don't know how many events, with Ryzen, Bellator, UFC. What else is happening that weekend?
Crawford Spence.
Yeah. So that's
so yes, next week might be a longer episode. But until next week, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. And again, weekly, you can check out our show at allaccessmma.com. Check out allaccessmma.com for video podcast, MMA news, and MMA stories. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a good night, Ed, and enjoy the fights this weekend.
Yes, sir.